Hey there, I'm Hannah Rosen, and I wanted to let you know that Invisibilia is back on June 1st. This season, we're asking the question, how is it that two people can look at the exact same thing and see something completely different? You can listen and subscribe to Invisibilia on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
É assim lá uma jauá. É assim lá uma jauá. É assim lá uma jauá. É assim lá uma jauá.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. And for this week, I'm also Felix Contreras of WXPN's World Cafe from Philadelphia. I was invited by the good folks at World Cafe to host a segment and check out a live performance featuring the very innovative Puerto Rican band Ife. Now that interview and that live performance, which was part of their Latin Roots live series, will be our show this week, okay? This is from the band's new album, and it's called Preludio, live at World Cafe Live. I started the interview by asking the leader of the band, Otura Moon, about his roundabout journey to Puerto Rico and his immersion into the spiritual world of Santería.
I'm sure you've told the story before.
Sure.
Like, how did you end up in Puerto Rico being in a disciple of the spiritual world of Afro-Caribbean spirituality?
Sure. I grew up in Indiana in a small town called Goshen, Indiana. It's about maybe 3 hours east of Chicago. It was a little farming town, predominantly Caucasian. So I went to a high school with maybe like 1,200 students, and there were 8 black students there, including my older sister. So, you know, it was pretty rough. You know, it was the Midwest and super conservative and rough, man. And so I was there until I was 18. My mother played piano in the church, and so she kind of had all of my siblings play an instrument. She sort of made us do that. You know, it wasn't something I was necessarily interested in, but my way of sort of chess moving my way out of it was to say that I wanted to play the drums, and I thought I had her there. And then a week later, she signed me up for drum lessons, and I really dug it. I was in fifth grade at the time. And I just really gravitated towards that. In fact, one of the first songs that I played, if not the first song, was a song off of that Stevie Winwood record, which was Back in the High Life. And so that's kind of where that Higher Love influence came from. My father was a meter reader for the gas company, and so he would walk around town with a Walkman all the time, right? And so he would give me the tapes that he had finished listening to and would just pass them down to me. So he gave me Steve Winwood, Eric Clapton, Bob Marley, Sly and the Family Stone, James Brown, on down the line, you know. And I kind of had this early musical influence, and then got into drum and bugle corps and drumline, and ended up studying at the University of North Texas. And so when I was in Texas, I would travel back and forth to Indiana during the summertime. And at some point, Delta messed up one of my flights, and they gave me a voucher. Now, I'm from like a lower middle class family, and the idea of travel always seemed sort of like out of reach for me, you know. And so I had this voucher, sat on it for like 11 months, and then I called the airline. At the time, I was really into Jamaican music, and so I called them up, and I said, hey, I want to go to Jamaica. And they said, no, you don't go to Jamaica. I said, what do you have in the Caribbean? And they said, well, we got St. Thomas, St. Croix, and Puerto Rico. I said, okay, St. Thomas. They're like, no, it's all booked up. I said, St. Croix. They're like, no, it's booked up, sir. And I was like, what's the other one? They said, Puerto Rico. I said, you're sure that's in the Caribbean? And I was completely ignorant to the geography, to where Puerto Rico was, to the history, everything. And they said, yeah, it's right there next to St. Thomas. I said, okay, well, put me on the plane. I'm going to do it. And I jumped on the plane with $150, and I was going for 2 weeks. I thought the American dollar went a lot farther than it did. It didn't. I got there, and I ended up sleeping on the street for the first week because $150 wasn't going to make it for 2 weeks. And at the time, Old San Juan was super live, and I remember seeing a film strip when I was in maybe junior high about Puerto Rico, and they said that Old San Juan had an artist and music community. So my plan was to show up, and I showed up with a skateboard and some mixtapes that I had made in a super hippie way, and just thought I was going to barter mixtapes and skateboard and meet the kids that skated and whatever. And I had an amazing time, man. There was music everywhere, you know, in the streets. Old San Juan was super live, and people would show up there from 10 p.m. and they would hang out and party until 6 a.m., and they did that 7 days a week. And so I heard for the first time salsa for the first time. I heard merengue for the first time. I heard reggaeton for the first time, flamenco, bachata, rumba. And I actually heard the musical baña or the orishas for the first time as well. And, you know, I was already a drummer, so I remember actually writing down the pattern in notation for reggaeton. I was like, I keep hearing this thing. What is this? Sounds like Murder, She Wrote. Let me write this beat down, you know. And, it was great. I actually kept a journal of that experience, man. And it's funny. You look back, and, you know, I was 22. That was in 1997. And so I stayed there for 2 weeks, had the time of my life. Came back to Texas where I was studying, and I sort of had a really just impacting death in the family that happened in 1998. And I decided, you know what, it sort of made me a sour person, you know. And before I burnt bridges with my friends that I had in Texas, I thought that I needed to get away from people so I wouldn't hurt anyone. And I wanted to start over. And I was really inspired by the life that I saw in Puerto Rico. You know, I felt like as an African American, we live in what amounts to sort of a racial caste system in the U.S. And I didn't feel that kind of rigidness in Puerto Rico. It just felt quite different, you know. And so the world I understood around me was worked on in a different way in Puerto Rico. Now, it's not to say that there isn't institutional racism in Puerto Rico, because there is. But what there isn't is people don't define themselves first racially like we do in the United States. Here we define ourselves first racially. We defend that space and sort of create our understanding of who we are around that. At least I feel that's how it works. So in Puerto Rico, I was sort of acting like I act, or, you know, in Texas. And so when I got there in 97, I saw a group of black people walking up the street towards me. Well, I crossed the street and I went over and said hello. And I, hey, what's going on? And they didn't speak Spanish. Well, they didn't speak English. They spoke Spanish and they were Dominican. And they had no idea why I was crossing the street to talk to them. But for me in Texas, if I walk into a store and there's two other black people there, we're going to say hello, you know, and we're going to acknowledge each other. And so I was working with the way that I understand the world in America, and it was just shocking to me, you know. And so I felt basically that I understood, you know, the black experience, but I didn't know what Latino culture was about. And so I felt that language possibly was a barrier there. And so my feeling was basically, if I could move to Puerto Rico, learn the language, it might give me a window into what Latin culture was all about, and to be able to build some sort of cultural bridge which I could cross later on in life. And I just thought that that would be, you know, who wouldn't do that, you know? So I moved in 99, I picked up, and I've been there since 99, basically.
Let's go back to the stage at Latin Roots Live. This is Ife performing the song Oduduwa.
Thank you. eso, Philly. Eso es. Ahí nada más, ahí nada más. Yarimil Caban Reyes, aquí.
Let's go back to that song, Higher Love, the Steve Winwood song that was on the tape, because you include a version of it on the album, and then you perform a live version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know, when I first heard that song and it came out, it made me think about the higher purpose of music, as I was just recently talking about that. And it makes total sense that you would include it on your record.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your music also has a higher purpose. It's more of an expression of a sense of spirituality in a way.
The Steve Winwood song, Higher Love, actually was one of the first songs I learned how to play on a drum set. So, you know, that song impacted me. I guess it's funny because the beginning of the drum for me had to do a bit with that song, right? So I heard it again, let's say 2 years ago, and I had already began to initiate in the Yoruba practice in Puerto Rico. And so at that point, I already knew in the practice that my patron orisha was Ochum. So when I heard the song Higher Love, I thought that it would be, I just heard Ochum inside of the song, first of all, you know, the orisha Ochum. And Ochum.
Sort of like a saint.
Yeah, Ochum is her, you know, her attribute physically is the river, but she is the owner of everything sweet and beautiful in life, you know, the creativity, love, passion. And I heard this song, Higher Love, and I just thought about her divine love for me and my divine love for her. But I also thought about the search for that divine love in life, in human life. And so that was it, man. I mean, a lot of what took me, you know, when I came back, I suppose when I started thinking about the Project Ife, I dedicated part of my life to learning a new practice, which was Rumba. So I wanted to do something for me as a human, and that was to learn this practice that I loved, which is a drumming practice, right? So that's, I get quite a lot out of that practice. On the other end, I decided I wanted to make a active move to try and discover the invisible world around me, the spiritual world, you know, and the Yoruba practice felt like the right way for me to do that. It was a practice that I felt had a lot of dignity and had something to do with me as well from a historical standpoint. Now, there are plenty of ways to discover the invisible world, and I grew up in the Christian church, right? But for me, I had a hard time seeing Christianity as something other than the tool of the colonizer. You know, for all the great things it may offer other people, I just couldn't shake that feeling that it was what that has caused so much damage in the world from a colonizational standpoint. And so I was looking for a way. I still need to know. I still need to find this spiritual world and commune with it and access it. And I just felt that the Yoruba practice was the way to go. And so I started consulting with a Babalao, who became my padrino in Ifa, and began to initiate, you know, slowly but surely, up until the point where it became known that Ochun was my patron orisha. She wanted coronation, so she wanted me to receive her, and that I needed to pass over to Ifa and become a Babalao. And so that's a monumental change in my life and a spiritual journey that sort of ends with a spiritual rebirth that's, you know, magnanimous. It's huge, you know. And so I just felt that the song itself, like that search for this love, this divine love, and this communion in between the orishas and the spirits that are surrounding us and the ancestors, it just spoke to me inside of that song. And so when you hear the song itself, it breaks in. There's a bell at the very beginning. That bell is the bell that I use to talk to Ochun. So when I'm going to talk to her, my Ochun is Ibuanya. Ochun Ibuanya, you have to ring five little bells in order to speak with her. And so the song is actually saying Ochun from the get-go, if you know about the bell, right? So ding, 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 ding. And it starts with a prayer. So Ibe, Ibe, Ma, Ye, Ye. That's a song for Ochun as well. And so as you're going, if you know those, the bell and the song, you're saying Ochun before you even know that I've got to Steve Winwood, right? And then we drop into that vamp and it goes into English. And there I think it probably grabs people that just know the Steve Winwood song. And sometimes it takes them a while to get to that, you know, because the music surrounding it just isn't what the Winwood tune sounds like. So once you get to the higher love point, that give me a higher love, oh, then from there we drop into a very serious prayer from Ochun. They, oh me, oh me, yeah, yeah, oh me, yeah, yeah, masara wow. And there it's Ochun all the way down, right? We bring it back to the Steve Winwood thing, but I never give you the higher love chant again. We go straight into, oh, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And all the way out are songs that are praise songs to Ochonin, just sort of building that vibe and that adoration for her as we go.
Since we talked so much about that Steve Winwood song, let's go back to the stage and your performance and let's hear you guys tear that song out, okay?
Eso es, eso es. Vamos allá.
Bring me a high love. center, and we're hanging on, facing our fear, standing up there alone. Oh yeah, and it's real for me. There must be someone who's here for me. Things look so bad everywhere in this world. What's fair? We walk blind and we try to see, falling behind in what could be.
Powerful, very effective.
Oh, great, man.
You did a great job.
Cool, man.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much, man.
Continued success, and also continued success in helping bring people together with your message.
Yeah, man.
And the message from above.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Otura
Moon is the leader of the band Ife. We talked in the studios of WXPN in Philadelphia. Their live performances were recorded at the World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. Many thanks to the folks at WXPN. Roger LeMay, station manager. Bruce Warren, program director. Talia Schlanger is the host of World Cafe. Kimberly Janad is the show producer, with help from Karina Chiamarese. You can find them at npr.org/worldcafe. World Cafe, check out their very, very deep catalog of music. I'm Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino. Thanks for listening.
Oro mi ma, oro mi mayo, oro mi ma, oro mi mayo, oro mi mayo, yabado, oye, yeo, oro mi mayo, yabado, oye, yeo. Oh, yeah.